Grace and peace be yours. May it be so as you hear his word in God's house this day. We are using the Lutheran service book, and many of you, I'm sure, are still familiar with the Lutheran hymnal. And both of those books have in it the lessons that are assigned to be read on any Lord's Day. And indeed, today we are here with the Lutheran service book and the lesson assigned as the gospel, which will be the basis of the sermon, comes from Matthew chapter 5. But if we look at the Lutheran hymnal, also entitled a Lutheran service book, we will see that the gospel for this Sunday would be from Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower and the seed. A person might ask, why is it that we have Lutheran hymnals that don't have the same gospel to be the basis of the sermon? I couldn't finish answering that question before you're asking, when's the amen coming? It'll be a long, long discussion there. But since we're talking about things Lutheran, as I begin the sermon this morning, let's think about the catechism. If your ears were attuned to the sermon, to the lesson from Matthew chapter 5, you heard the catechism mentioned three times there. How well do you know the catechism? We don't have in the catechism I use the preface to the catechism that Luther wrote in 1529. It's a very interesting preface that he writes before we begin with the Ten Commandments. He is very critical of the priests. That's what he called the pastors. They still were known as priests in his day, who indeed, once they got the catechism, read it once and threw it into the corner, thinking that they knew it all. He asked the question, how do they think they can know it all if God himself is never finished teaching the catechism? And then he goes on to quote from Deuteronomy, where Moses, having given the Ten Commandments, says to the people of God that they should have these Ten Commandments written on their wrists. They should constantly teach them to their children. Indeed, they should have them on their doorposts. You may not know, but I come from New York City, which is indeed very heavily Jewish. And many homes in New York would have on the doorposts the Ten Commandments. Indeed, what Moses said and Luther would say about the Ten Commandments, that he looks upon himself always, even as a doctor of theology, as a student in confirmation, in catechism class, because every morning he goes over the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. He doesn't get into the other three parts of the catechism. You know, may know there are six, because he would really say they are included already in the Creed when he confesses, I can not come to Christ, but the Holy Ghost calls me by his gifts. That's the other three parts of the catechism. Indeed, so if we are at the catechism, there may be a question that you asked as I read the gospel to you that has the three commandments in there. I suspect you didn't ask the question, but as you read it, you heard me read the fifth commandment, the sixth commandment, and then the eighth commandment. I didn't read the seventh commandment. And the question may be, why didn't Moses include? No, why didn't Jesus include that here in the Sermon on the Mount? I have no answer to that, as I could have an answer to why we're having different gospels. But we do have in our text these three commandments, the fifth, the sixth, and the eighth. Indeed, what a challenge that those who prepared the service gives us three commandments in one gospel lesson. Indeed, if you go back to your confirmation instruction, I'm sure, at least in my life, it took a whole week to go through one commandment, and to preach on three commandments in one sermon of 20 minutes is impossible. But yes, we will look at those three commandments. And we'll do so, as a Lutheran pastor should, under the theme of law and gospel. So we look at the first commandment that's listed here, thou shalt not kill. Remember, we should fear and love God that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and befriend him in every bodily need. What to do with that? We look only at the last. Help and befriend him in every bodily need. Who's that? Our neighbor. Joey Vandekakove. I think that's the longest last name I ever had in a confirmation class. That's up in Canada. And we were going over the fifth commandment, and I asked the question on the basis of indeed the Good Samaritan who helped his neighbor as we're talking about helping our neighbor. I asked Joey, who's your neighbor? I forget the name, but he simply mentioned his neighbor. That's the only neighbor he had, he thought. I suspect that might well also be the way we live our lives. Who do we help? To be sure, when we're on the interstate and get off in Chicago and we see the homeless begging there at the intersection, there may be those who are there who are simply begging for money, for booze, and for drugs, but we can go by them. But we live in a world of need. We live in a world of need. Thank God we have as our president Matthew Harrison, who in his earlier ministry served the synod in the area of filling the needs of humanity. But our synod has improved, I believe, in reaching out with helping the neighbor. But when we look at what we possess, and when we look at how many in the world are suffering and hungry and cold, naked and lonely, how much have we really fulfilled what we have learned in confirmation class, to help and befriend him in every bodily need? And then the next commandment, the sixth commandment, we should not commit adultery. We should fear and love God that we lead a chaste and decent life in word and deed, and each love and honor his spouse. The end of this month, I'll be down in Missouri, being the MC at the 80th birthday of one of my hillbilly friends. And I'm looking for jokes to tell there, so you can go to the computer and look for jokes to share as you are an MC. And this is public property. There's a whole section of dirty jokes, but even when you simply plug into the farmer jokes, how many of the jokes that are there really make fun of, debase, indeed dishonor the precious gift that God has given to us when he made us male and female? Indeed, that's the culture in which we live. And does our life reflect that culture in the stories we tell, the things that we laugh at, that which God has made holy and given to us as a treasure, and we abuse it with the language and the jokes that we tell? And not only that, it's on the computer, but how much more is on the television? That which is portrayed there, that's a violation of God's holy will for us. And indeed, how the culture, we may not do the touching, but indeed, as the text says, lusting, what goes on in our mind itself, is perverse. And then we come to the commandment, you should not bear false witness. We should fear and love God. How does it go on? That we might not deceitfully belie, betray, slander, or defame our neighbor, but do what? Remember, defend him, speak well of him, and put the best construction on everything. Oh, it's been on the television because of what's happened in Washington, the impeachment, and now all of the people running for office. These are people who want to be elected to the highest positions, and look at the way they talk about their opponents. Now, do they get that from us, or do we get it from them? But it's the culture. Do we indeed do what God wants us to do here, as Luther teaches us, to speak well of him, defend him, and put the best construction on everything? How often is the gift of the tongue not used to build up, to bring love and hope and life, but indeed to destroy. And how often is it not just the tongues of the politicians, but the tongues of the citizens that vote for them? It's kind of ironic. As I was preparing for today, some of the hymn books had verse 20 as the first verse for today. That was also the last verse of last Sunday's gospel. You probably have forgotten it. It goes on to say, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." When we look not at all 10, but just these three commandments and just simply some of the things I shared with you, surely our righteousness fails. And we don't deserve God's reign. We don't deserve to have God as our Father. More than that, we deserve condemnation and God's justice. And as it often said in the lesson, hell itself. But I said it's also time to preach the gospel. Indeed, the gospel is spoken by the one whose words are all in red in my Bible as I prepared the sermon, Jesus Christ. We can never look at only one word of him, but we look at the whole Christ. We look at the one who has said, "You have heard it said, you should not kind of..." It's a new translation. You memorized kill, huh? It's a "you shouldn't murder." I guess we can add another word. "You should not crucify." That's almost worse than murder, because crucifixion involves brutal torture and not only murdering and killing somebody. But who indeed says "you should not murder" is the one who was crucified. Indeed, how often the gospel today spoke of hell. He indeed was crucified. And on the very cross, what did he say? My God, you have forsaken me." This Holy One who in no way deserved crucifixion. It's kind of interesting. We'll hear next week where it says that "you have heard an eye for an eye." That's the way the government under Moses governed. Whatever a person did wrong, that was inflicted upon him. If a person crucified someone, he could be crucified in punishment. But here, this one who was crucified, this one who says "you should not murder," has done nothing wrong. Indeed, he has only faithfully fulfilled, as we look at his life, he has helped anyone in need. If they've come near him and only touched his garment, they were healed. But yet he was crucified. Why was he crucified? Because we have not loved. We have not helped the neighbor. We have called a person worse than being a fool, haven't we? And yet we're not condemned to hell, but he was for us. Indeed, we've just come past Valentine's Day. Maybe you've looked at those valentines in preparation to buying one for somebody, and what wonderful words there were on that valentine expressing your love. But there is no valentine that could more powerfully reflect love than the one who speaks these words. He indeed loves the brothers. He loves us so much that he went to the cross for us to take away what we deserve. Indeed, he is the ultimate bridegroom who has said no one can love a person better than giving his life. Indeed, we as husbands may have felt that way about our wives, but would we indeed fulfill that? God be praised if we would. But indeed, Christ does that for us. Indeed, the bridegroom has given you not the wedding ring, but he's given you your baptism. And that baptism is upon you. And in that baptism, that bridegroom expresses his infinite love for you. And nothing can take that love away from you. Indeed, he not only is the one who has died for us, he is the ultimate bridegroom who has faithfully kept the marriage vow. Indeed, we've all sinned. We've looked at that. We haven't helped the neighbor. We've indeed laughed at things we shouldn't have. Indeed, we have used our tongue. But what does the Bible tell us about the one who gives us the gospel? It says, if any man sin, how does it go on? We have an advocate. We've got someone who's going to speak up for us. Indeed, he will defend us. If any man sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Indeed, he who sits at the right hand of the Father is not only the one who has died for you, he is the bridegroom. He is, as it is, your attorney, your advocate before the Father. Indeed, because he is the advocate for us, that wonderful hymn, it's a Christmas hymn, it says, the angel guards the gate no more. Indeed, the kingdom of heaven shouldn't be ours, but because of him who speaks these words, who died for us, who is our bridegroom indeed, who is our advocate, the angel guards the gate no more. Even now, you've gone through that gate, and you are in God's kingdom, now and forever. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. We rise to confess the holy faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and